Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I heard something and it stuck with me. And it's kind of like the reverence of God, you know. God's doing a lot. And there's a lot that we're going to see, and a lot of signs and wonders and miracles and things that we've never seen before. But what was said was that God's doing a lot, and I could miss it. I could miss it. That's called reverence. And I know none of us want to miss anything. We want to see it all. We want to know Him and see Him move. And that's what He wants for us too, right? That's His. He wants to bring us with Him. That's His whole deal. So you guys ready for the holiday? I heard something today too. I've never heard it before. That July 4th is actually a holy day. Even might be just as holy as Christmas. It's because when the pilgrims came here, they set up a government purposefully so that God could be in charge. All their laws, the way they set it up so that God could be in charge. And that's what was the meaning of it. So it is actually a holy day. So I wanted to talk about love. Lori asked us to fill in for her. I wanted to talk to her, but I couldn't get to that. I had to stay with forgiveness. So I learned that was that's the first step of love. The first step of love is forgiveness. I got a Passion Bible. I don't know if it's pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen it, but so that's what I'm reading out of. So if it doesn't seem right to you, but that's what I'm going to be talking about is forgiveness. And how I thought about the scripture, Jesus said that, you know, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. Well, you know, it's a done deal. We are forgiven, but we block everything up. We don't forgive, and we just block Him from coming in or going out. We're just a zero. And I don't want to make, you know, it's not a lot of guilty thing. It's not a heavy thing. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he speaks to us gently and in peace. And the Bible says that the wisdom of God is it's merciful and peaceful, and that's how He ministers to us. So let's just keep that in mind. But I'll read Mark 11, 20-25. And whenever you stand praying, I'm not really talking about praying now, but that's important. And that may be a time when God speaks to us. That prayer is not just talking, it's listening too. So when you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you your faults. So there we see it again is you kind of block everything out if you don't forgive. It's not a big deal. Forgiveness is just a decision. That's all it is. But if we don't handle it, the best way to handle it is to just do it right away. Just forgive. I forgive them. I forgive them, Lord, and walk in it. And you know, I'll be probably the worst one. So I'm talking to myself, really. And as I was preparing this, it was, you know, going through a lot with my own life. So anyway, I just pray that the Lord will speak to you, the Holy Spirit. You'll know Him better tonight than you have before, and He'll bless you. He'll bless you and help us to get to another place. The Bible talks about holding aught in your heart. Well, just put it like this. They ought have done this for me, or they ought have done that for me, or they shouldn't have done that, or they should have done this. Things like that. Praise the Lord. Little things like that, you can get off. If you start to get off, it's not so bad at first, but when you keep going down that and you don't deal with it, then you're way off later on. So okay. Okay, the first step is to walking in God's love is to forgive. I'm going to go read some scriptures out of here. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, and I'm just going to believe God. You just open up your ears to listen, not to me, but listen to God, see what He would say to you. It's actually a blessing to get unforgiveness out of your heart and things like that. Okay, this is Ephesians 4:30, and I'm going to read all the way into 5, the fifth. But the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Holy Spirit or take for granted his holy influence in your life. I like that, His holy influence in your... So if we keep choosing to not forgive someone, we can kind of deny Him. He wants to work, He wants to forgive. Lay aside all bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, insults, but instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as His beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for He surrendered His life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. Sometimes you can just smell God, can't you? You just see Him. I think when we have unforgiveness in our heart, we're giving something else off. I just was thinking last couple of days, you know, you try to talk to a person, but you can't seem to say what you want. There's something blocking it. You're just trying to say it in a good way, but you just can't. And for me, I think that would be, there's some unforgiveness. You want to be sweet, But anyway, we can get rid of that. It's just a simple decision, a small adjustment. That's all it is. It's just a choice. It's a decision. Here's a good one. You may be able to whip a skunk, but you might not want to. So that kind of goes with that. That could work either way. Any way you want to look at it. Okay. I'm going to go to Hebrews 12:15. It says, watch over each other and make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace, and make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. So unforgiveness, it can spread. As we bump shoulders with each other, it can spread. Unforgiveness allows torments to have access to our souls, bringing sleepless nights, fear, worry, anxiety, critical attitudes. You ever have a critical attitude? All you can see is the wrong in someone. So that can come from unforgiveness. The Bible tells us to see the good in others, but that's what unforgiveness can lead. It leads us down the wrong path. Weakness, sickness, anything. It can stop our money from flowing the way it should. Of course, our social life, right? Whatever. Genesis 8:22, that Noah was just coming right out of the ark, and God told him, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to flood the earth again. From now on, it'll be seed time and harvest. So that means what you sow is what you're going to reap. What you give is what you're going to get back a lot of times. Praise God, God's grace can stop some of that. And I'm sure it does, but it's still a law, a spiritual law. Galatians 6:7 says, make no mistake about it, God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. So sow unforgiveness and reap judgment, criticism, and rejection. This is kind of a sobering thing, but it's meant to get us to a better place. So we can rejoice in it. You sow criticism or rejection. Different things. And again, you know, it's not a mental thing. It's, you know, it's the Holy Spirit wants to say, hey, how about this? And hey, how about that? And just as we walk with him, and he's nudging us in a gentle way. He's gentle. And, you know, we can get it all in our head, but we just kind of rely on him. The world is not a playground, it's a schoolroom. Life is not a holiday, but an education. And one eternal lesson for us all is to learn is to how much better we can love. So forgiveness is something that can be, it can't be earned. It's something has to be given. Your offender can't earn your forgiveness. You simply have to give it. You simply have to give the forgiveness. I had a carpenter, he's worked on my house, and he's got things for me. He got us a $3,000 shower. It's cool, it's like a spaceship thing. But he's done a lot of good things for me. What I'm getting to, he has connections where he can get something a little cheaper, and he passes it along to me, and so on and so forth. But he has one bad trait that he just doesn't show up sometimes. He just leaves things. Seems like you've seen that too, right? So sometimes, you wake up, you wait and wait. Your wife says, when's my kitchen going to be done, right? So then you're thinking, I got to do this God's way, right? And you feel the Tabasco sauce going up and down. So you have to, and the next day you forgive, and I'm not gonna act on that. So the next morning, everything's fine for a day or two, and then you got to forgive. You got to just make that choice again. So I'm gonna have to talk to him, right? But I want to talk to him in a godly way. I witnessed to him. We prayed for him. He kind of busted his rib. I prayed for him, and the Lord healed him. But he's still not ready to make the plunge, But we're, you stick with people, right? You stick with them because God stuck with us. So I want to. Give a good example, but that Tabasco sauce, it just you feel it rising up in you, right? But we learn to control it. We can try to make somebody feel guilty, give them the silent treatment or things like that. We can try to use our anger and kind of swirl it around and make people feel bad, and that's part of our human, but that's not in the spirit. That's not the right way to do it. You and I owed God a debt that there was absolutely no way we could pay. Not by good works, lighting candles, or finding ways to punish ourselves. There's no way. We can't. He just has to give it. It's a gift. And we talked about a lot of good things gonna happen. We look forward to they call it a great awakening. There's a great awakening. One man, Smith Wigglesworth, said there would be no ebb. That means there would be no end to it until Jesus comes. It's going to be a end time move of the Spirit. And then you have the other side to deal with, though. Matthew 24. I saw the books here. You probably read them. About Jesus. How's it going to be when Jesus comes? So of Matthew 24, this is all about forgiveness still. But the disciples were talking to Jesus. They said, what is it going to be like when the end of the time is? They were asking him questions. Sure, you want to know. You want to know. You got the guy right there who can give you the answers and give you a little clue. I want a little head start. How I can win this thing, right? But if you go down to verse 10, he says, many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another or hate one another. Well, I like the King James better. It says many will be offended, so they'll go into that unforgiveness. So it's going to be, that's going to be happening. A lot of people with unforgiveness in their heart. So it's going to be a growing thing, but not in us, right? Not in us. And forgiving yourself of the past, learning to forget memories of things we did wrong. Satan brings up our past sins, our past mistakes. Right? He's always forgiving. And then too, he's always telling us, hey, are you going to let him get away with that? Are you going to let him get by with that? You know, he's trying to push us into unforgiveness. He's tricky, but God is trickier, right?
Yeah.
Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will demonstrate my mercy to them, and I will demonstrate that we should experience that. We can experience that every day, the mercy of God, the demonstration. He demonstrates us in our heart, you know, you're walking and talking with him, or, you know, he demonstrates it to us every day. I will demonstrate my mercy to them. I will forgive their evil deeds and never remember them again. So, so again, you can carry these things in your heart. You can carry it, and I've last couple days, you don't realize it. You can, it's small little thing, and then it gets deeper and deeper, and maybe something that happened, you know, shouldn't be this way. But for me, you know, something that happened 20, 25 years ago, and it comes up, you know, it's going to come up, you know. Your memory's there, but your attitude towards it, and you have to make that change. You have to make that attitude change, and walk in forgiveness. And then that's the first step of love. I know I don't want to gross anybody out, but no, we have a sink at home. My wife and I both use it, but you use it a couple weeks, you know, and the gook gets in there, the hair gets in there. So I just use that. It's got to be clean. Somebody's got to do it. You can't leave it because the water won't go down anymore. I mean, that's the deal, right? You got to clean it out. So that's some once in a while, look in our hearts and see if there's anything that shouldn't be there or any, you know. I don't want to explain it. The Holy Spirit explains it. He'll explain it to you and talk to you the way He knows you here. So, but that's all I got. And thanks for listening. Yeah, my wife has. She's gonna clean up my mess like always.
I'm not saying a word. Yeah, Lori asked us to. She said you both can do it. Or anyway, our name is Tim and Joanne. Anyway, if we never introduced ourselves, we're not Holly and Lori, obviously. So I have. We didn't talk to each other. I mean, I knew a little bit. He said he was talking on forgiveness, but then I was going one way. But then this morning, the Lord really gave me about forgiveness to kind of going to go off with that. But the one thing that really came to me, something Joyce Meyer said that always stuck with me, that she said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You're like, well, I'll show them. I'm not going to forgive them. Well, you're just, it's poison. And you're thinking you're going to hurt them, but you're the one who's getting hurt. So that one always stuck with me. I thought, that's really good. I'm going a little, he touched on it, Tim, about sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. I'm going to talk about forgiving yourself. Some of us, God has forgiven us, but we need to forgive ourselves. It's a big deal because you're going to be under condemnation, guilt, and you're just going to be stuck. It's like you're just going to be kind of crippled or stuck without that. You're just going to always have kind of this thing hanging on you, well, that you just didn't forgive yourself. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. It's not wrong to love yourself. I mean, you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. You can be all into yourself, that's wrong. The pride, either way, pride is too high esteem or too low esteem. You just got yourself on your mind all the time. But so that's what I'm talking about, like forgiving yourself. I'm going to tell this one thing. A close relative of mine, she had an abortion before she got married and had kids. She could never forgive herself for it. I mean, she got married and had other kids. She had a tormented life over it. And she died not that long ago. And the Lord said, well, I forgave her, but she couldn't forgive herself. She just, and it did her in. It opened up the door. She died of cancer. I believe God said, I forgave her, but she couldn't forgive herself. And that just stuck with me. My heart just broke. Because she could have, I think she'd still be alive today. But it can open the door. I mean, God forgives you. And He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, He says, as far as the east is from the west. Anyway, that was just a personal example. And that it just hit me. And then the Lord said, she's with that baby now in heaven. That baby's in heaven. And she's there. And, she was saved. She got saved. She got saved in everything, but she just couldn't. I mean, she just talked about it. She couldn't get over it, And that's why it's really, you need to forgive yourself. And I know you do things, you're like, man, that was rotten what I did. And, your emotions and your feelings and the devil, he's acute, and everything says you are awful. But God says, I'll forgive you. I forgive you. And so I think sometimes the hardest thing is to forgive yourself. It can affect block healing in your life. I have another thing that I got from, I don't want to read the whole thing, but that was a personal example, but this is from, if you heard of Brother Kenneth Hagin. He has a daily devotional called Faith Food. I read it every morning. But this is a story he shared. It's about a man who hadn't forgiven himself, and it was blocking his healing. He said this was a man, he was a minister, and he was going to die. He had a heart disease, and the doctor said, you need to retire from the ministry. If you just retire and don't do anything, you know, and be you might live two more years or whatever. And so Brother Hagin was going to go pray for him. And, you know, he was, I'm going to go pray, lay hands on him, you know, the healing scriptures, da-da-da, right? But that's fine. But the Lord said, the Lord gave him this verse in James 5, 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And the Lord just said, that's the verse. You need to minister that to this man who's dying. And he didn't fully go, well, I don't know why that one. But anyway, so then when he went there, and the doctors had told him, you know, you don't have long to live. And so he went to visit the man at the hospital, and he asked him the question, this man who was dying. He said, do you believe that God would require you to do something that he wouldn't do himself? Would God ask you to do something he wouldn't do? And the man said, oh, certainly not. And he said, so I gave him the James 5, 14 and 15, read that if you commit any sins, they'll be forgiven him. He said, this is the thing that keeps many people's faith from working. They think God won't heal them because they have failed. I gotta turn the page. So this is where this guy was at. The guy was getting to the root of the problem. You need to ask the Lord. Sometimes just stop and ask, you know, I don't just jump on, well, yeah, I take the healing scriptures, but you just need to step back sometimes and ask for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, right? In James, ask for wisdom. Amen. Because each situation is different. Maybe you'll do this scripture or this or that. Or anyway, so then the businessman said, well, he asked, told him that verse, and this businessman said, you don't understand what I've done. And then Brother Hagin said, I thought, well, he must have committed some terrible sin. So I said to the man, well, what awful sin have you committed? And he said to Brother Hagin with tears, it's not so much the sins of commission. I don't know if I've done anything wrong. It's sins of omission. Omission. He said, the Bible says, therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. And this man said, I'm a businessman. I've always had money. I've supported the church, paid tithes, but I could have given much more money. I could have prayed more. I could have been more faithful to my church. And Brother Hagin said, I want to ask you a question. Have you committed the sin of omission 490 times in one day? He said, no, meaning he went to where Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? And the Lord said, 70 times seven in one day, right? So God's saying, Brother Hagin said, have you done this sin 490 times in one day? And he says, well, no. He goes, I haven't done that 490 times in 36 years. I haven't done that. He said, I got to him to see from those scriptures in Matthew and in James that he got to show him, look, God has forgiven you, you know, and you need to forgive yourself. It was holding him from receiving his healing. God had forgiven him, and he didn't commit. You know, Jesus said, if you forgive your brother 70 times seven in one day, if he's asking us to do that, then he's going to do it. I mean, he's not going to. That's what the Pharisees did. They would hold the people to a higher standard than they would do. Jesus said, you lay burdens on those people you're not willing to bear. And you're a bunch of hypocrites. So God's not going to do that. If he says you need to forgive your brother 70 times seven, well, he's going to forgive us. All right, now I don't think any of us have done, you know, 700 whatever a day of this. So he was talking about sins. I don't want to confuse it, but there's commission and omission. You can be in sin, well, I did something wrong, or you didn't obey God. That's a sin too. That's called omission. Okay, that's a sin of omission. Either one. We just got to ask God for forgiveness. Well, anyway, so he got the man to see that, and then he was able to receive his healing. But it was blocking. You know, there's a blocking sometimes. You got to ask the Lord, you know, what? You know, I know your word says I'm supposed to be healed, or I'm supposed to prosper, and I'm giving. You know, he said, I've been giving. I've been doing this. And unforgiveness is it could be a big blocker for that, to block the blessing, to block the healing. Like I said, in James, it says if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. if they've committed any sins, they'll forgive you. I mean, God's so good. Forgiveness and healing, see, always go together. When you read it in Psalm 103, he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. It like goes together. When he would heal people, he'd say, your sins are forgiven. Rise, pick up your mat and walk. So it just, it went together. You know, that's how good God is. It's a package deal. But So I wanted to focus on forgiving yourself, and I thought that was a really good point. Now, in 1 John 1:9, which you're probably all familiar with that, forgiveness is, repentance is a gift, the Bible says. It's a gift. Like, when you repent, like, you get rid of it. It's not like God didn't know about it. You're just like, when you confess it, you're like getting rid of it, and it's like, you know, a good bath. It's like, ooh, that felt good. Anyway, it's a gift. It's like, I like the gift of repentance. It's the mercy of God, like Tim was saying. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he'll forgive us and cleanse us. You know, when you feel, you know, like I said, I gave that example of that relative of mine. I mean, God said, I forgave her. She just could have forgiven and cleansed of that whole thing, right? But she couldn't forgive herself. So it's a, you know, I know a lot of people, they just don't like themselves. I mean, I got to the place that's like, you know, I got to live with myself every day. I'm going to spend my whole life not liking myself. This is going to be bad. I mean, I'm just like, I know my faults. I know all these things. But, I mean, but God loves me. And you got to get the revelation. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3 that we would know the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the width of the love of Christ, that we'd be filled with the fullness of God, to know that God loves you. And then when he does correct you or something, it's easy to receive it because you know he loves you. You know, you're not... You already know he loves you, and so whatever he does, it's going to be out of love. It's going to be for your good. And then to forgive others, forgive in the Greek, I looked up the Greek, means to set free, to let go, to release, and to discharge. I mean, that is good news. God forgives you. He's like, I'm setting you free. I'm forgiving you, like, you're free from that. You're free. It could be the most horrendous crime. I don't know what it is. But when he says, I mean, you are free, right? And when you forgive someone else, you're saying, I'm letting you go. You know, like a bird out of a cage, you're free. I'm not holding anything against you. I used to volunteer for like 4 years at a home for girls, like between 13 and 18, and a Christian home for girls, and they, girls that had been through a lot of things, you know, a lot of them abuse, you know, molested, different things like that. So I was doing a class like with them on Tuesday nights, and we were talking about forgiveness. And they're like, well, how can I forgive this person what they did to me? They, you know, they felt like if I forgive them, they're going to get away with this. You know, this was wrong, which it was, right? It was wrong what they did to me. And if I forgive them, it was like, then they're just going to get away with it, and I want them to get punished or something. You know what I mean? But I said, no, if you forgive them, you go free, and God will deal with them. Okay, if you take matters in your hands, then God, they're out of his hands. That's right. He says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. Right? You're like, no, I'll handle it, Lord. But I'm not just kidding. But it's not easy to do. Like, I'm going to forgive. I had to go through that, you know, when you go through a divorce, but I forgive. But at first, you know, it's not easy. Like Tim said, I remember I would get on the side of my bed and pray. I'm like, oh my, okay, I forgive him. Then he'd come, you know, we had a daughter, so we had that, you know, shared custody. Then he'd come to pick her up, and then I'm like, ugh. Then he's got a new girlfriend. I'm like, ugh. I had to go pray some more. I'm like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've been there, but I was like, ugh. But I forgive him, Lord, and pray for him, and I forgive him. And you know what? It's never just the one person. You know, you did some stuff too. So anyway, God got me to the place where now, I'm free from that. Sometimes it does take a little time. There's no condemnation. You say, I forgive them. It may come up again. I forgive them. You know, I let it go. I didn't want to pray for him. I pray that he'd go away. That's about how I'd pray, but it wasn't happening. So, like, this isn't right. The Lord said, you need to pray for them. Pray, okay. So, anyway, but it set me free. You know, when someone hurts you, you think, well, I want to hurt them back. I mean, they hurt me. And it's legitimate. There's some things, like, you forgive someone, and may you need to stay away from that person. It doesn't mean you didn't forgive them. But there's some people that are trying to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? It's like someone's abusing you. Yeah, there's boundaries. And that doesn't mean you didn't forgive. You forgive. Like, if you go in someone's yard and their dog bites you, well, I forgive you. But I ain't going in your yard until you deal with that dog. Right? I mean, that's just and doesn't mean you're in unforgiveness. You forgive them, but there is boundaries. And God will say, you know, that person, someone you need to stay away with, you know. But you do forgive them. You just can't be around them. If someone's really keeps hurting you or abusing you, or, you know, I can't give all the examples right now, but you're not in unforgiveness if you put boundaries. Those are things you need to do. Because God loves you. He loves them, but he also loves you, you know. I said, Lord, I don't want anything bad to happen to them, but I don't want anything bad to happen to me either. So I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? So you forgive them, but you can't have boundaries. That's not wrong to have boundaries. That's a very good thing. Not walls. There's some people that have walls. That's a problem that, you know, like, I don't trust people. I'm never going to talk to anybody. I'm never getting married again. I mean, you don't have, whatever, that kind of thing. That can be but boundaries from someone who keeps doing the same thing, and they're not repenting, they're not changing. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you, I forgive you, but I'm not going to hang out with you, or whatever, however you want to say it. Those are healthy things. So some people, I mean, I've had this where, you know, you just don't, well, I want to forgive, so I should go hang out with them if I'm really forgiving them. But they keep doing the same thing, and and it's not good for me. But I would feel like guilty, like, well, you know, I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to walk in love. Well, yeah, you are, but there's people that just aren't going to change, and they're just going to keep doing the same thing. So forgiveness will set you free, and they'll let God will deal with that other person. The Lord told me once, you do what's right, I'll fix what's wrong. You do the right thing, I'll fix what's wrong. Character is when you do what's right, even when the right thing's not being done to you. That's character. It's not easy to do because you, like, right, you know, it's the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the love of God. But so to forgive yourself, I mean, just set yourself free. I mean, everyone's like, well, if I should have done this, or I could have done that, or if I wouldn't have done that, or, you know what I mean? Woulda, shoulda, coulda, and you can't go backwards. And if you don't forgive yourself, you won't be able to go forwards. You're going to be stuck. You can't go backwards, but you also aren't going to go forwards if you don't receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. You're just going to be stuck right there. And so it's important to, and the Lord will help you. You know, when you say, Lord, I want to forgive, the Holy Spirit will help you. He helps you to do the word. You don't have to do anything in your own strength. That's why we have the helper, right? I mean, that's so wonderful, because who can do this in your own strength? Who could forgive someone who maybe really, really hurt you? Or forgive yourself if you did, you know, just say had an abortion or whatever, and then you realize, oh, man, you know. Because when you're not a Christian, you got the blinders on, you're just going the world's way. You have no idea, right, what you're doing. Then the blinders come off. You're like, oh, wow, that was really bad. I didn't know. And then God forgives you. But even after you're a Christian, sometimes I think it's worse, because then you're like, well, I should have known better. You know, when you sin after you're already, like, say, then you think, you feel the devil beat you over the head, like, oh, what kind of Christian are you? You did this, you did that. But you hold the blood of Jesus over him, because we overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He'll accuse us all the time. That's just his thing. He'll accuse me to me. He'll accuse me to you, you to me. He's the accuser of the brethren, right? He'll try to point, accuse this one, that one. And we need to get smart in these days. We need to get smarter than that, right? Because we can't keep falling for the same tricks. That's how we divide and conquer, right? That's how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
We got to get smarter than that. You know, be sober. The adversary is looking for someone to devour. He's going to say, oh, look at, they didn't say hi to you. Oh, they didn't smile at you. Oh, whatever. I mean, I tell, get over it. To me, I was like, grow up. But, but I mean, it's just, I think we need to get smarter than that, really, because these the days we're living in, and God wants a great awakening, a great move of God, and there's going to have to be unity. So forgiveness, forgiving each other, forgiving ourselves. And I wanted to bring up another point. I don't want to go too long. So, but since it's going to be 4th of July, and I very love America, very patriotic. I love this nation. God forgives our nation. He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I think we need to receive that finally, because we've repented. I don't know how many prayer meetings I've been to. Repent, 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 repent. I mean, at some point, when are we going to receive the forgiveness? Because God promised. He said, if my people, you know the verse, I'm receiving forgiveness for America, for us, for this nation. We're not, I mean, we do things wrong, but we've been repenting. There's been marches around Washington, you know, repent, repent. And we do with all our hearts. And I say, Lord, I repent. You know, I don't just want to do it out of a religious routine, just, you know, sometimes you just feel all this stuff like, okay, I just repent of everything. I don't know what to repent of. You just feel like, I've done everything wrong. I repent. But there's nothing behind it. I mean, there's like, there's not really a big change right there. You're just trying to get the pressure off. Like, everyone's telling me to repent. Like, I'm bad. And America's bad. And we're all bad. Anyway. So 2 Chronicles 7:14. I thought of this today. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. This is the part. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now we're talking about forgiveness. He'll forgive us. I mean, I've repented for the abortions, repented, you know, for having other gods before him. I believe God's heard, forgiven us. I really believe he is. He said, I'll forgive you. And remember I said how forgiveness and healing go together? Here it is right here. I'll forgive you and I'll heal your land. I believe we're there right now. Now, in the natural, but you know, the devil has to, he makes a move. He tries to stop it, but he can't stop God. I mean, he always tries to make his move to try to stop it. But just go right back to the word. God promised, if my people, that's us. He's not saying if all the unbelievers get it together, if the Democrats and Republicans could just get together, I'll listen and I'll forgive you. No, my people called by my name, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. And I'm standing on this for this nation that he's forgiving us. He's forgiving us. We've repented. I know as believers, people are, Lord, I'm sorry for the abortion. Every year they have the National Day of Prayer, and we repent of the abortions, we repent of these different things. But I'm just going to receive, Lord, what you said there, that you said you'd forgive us and you'd heal our land. And I'm standing on that because we need healing. If ever we needed healing, it was now. And there is good things happening. There is some good news. God, I think that's good news that God said, I heard you and I'll heal you. And that's when you have to, having done all to stand when it doesn't look like it, you know, or you're not seeing it, but it's in his promise. And it's like that song we sang, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You're the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And God's promised, we have a covenant as a nation also that we can stand on. But I just thought, as talking about forgiveness, and it's going to be our Independence Day, and God said he'll hear us, he'll forgive us and heal us. And I really believe that. So I'm encouraged about that, because you think everyone's talking bad about America, it seems right now, and you know, and or negative, or you know, God's punishing us, but he said he'd forgive us and he would heal us. And I see it starting to happen. different states are rising up, different legislations, different things against, you know, the heartbeat bills, you know, and there's sanctuary cities now for the unborn babies, no abortions there. I've never seen that. It's just the beginning. And that's why we got to pray, because, you know, the devil tried to stop it. You know, so that's why we keep praying, and we stand our ground, and we stand in faith for our nation, because it's God's will for us to be healed as a nation. He says in 1 Timothy, you to pray first of all for leaders, for all that are in authority. I try not to get on prayer, but that's my thing, so it got in here one way or another. But he said forgiveness, forgive our land. But this I wanted to bring out, because 1 Timothy 2 says, I exhort first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings are all that are in authority. Why? That we could live a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and honesty. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want all this turmoil and all these things that are going on. He wants us to live. Isn't that what we want? Who doesn't want that? Godliness, quiet, peacefulness, godly life. We want to raise our kids to know the Lord. We want to live for the Lord. We want to be free to worship him. And that's God's will for us. That's his will for our nation. That's so we can pray that confidently. Now, how he does it, that's up to him, but we could take him at his word. And I just say, and it says with thanksgiving, and that's another part of it to me, is being thankful. Thank him. Don't forget to be thankful for all the good things. One thing the Lord told me years ago is be thankful and you'll keep your tank full. So there's a little, just keep being, be thankful. And thankful for this nation. Thankful for the good thing. This is a good nation. And things are turning around. There's so much negative, negative, negative. This still says good news. This isn't the bad news. This is the good news. So it's good news to me when God says, hey, I'll hear your prayers. I'll forgive you and I'll heal your land. That is good news. And I'm holding on to that with all my life right now, especially with everything I got. But to forgive yourself, to forgive others, and, you know, this is Independence Day, but this could be a Independence Day for you to just forgive yourself. You can't go back and change anything, and God has forgiven you, and you forgive yourself, and forgive others in your family and stuff. It opens things up, and like Tim said, you gotta check your own heart. You know when you haven't forgiven someone or not, you know. And don't let the devil beat you over the head with it or anything like that. He'll just try to condemn you, but you just know when you in your heart, you'll be able to be a release and a freedom. And when you see that person, you're not like, yeah, that's like gone, you know. Now you really can love them. That is gone. And it may seem like right now it's like, I don't know if I could ever get to that place where I'd be happy to see that person. I'm not, you know, but it got to bring you to that place. You actually, you know, like you don't even, the memory, he can even heal your memories. He'll heal memories, trauma from different things. He healed the trauma of it. You could be so free. I mean, so free that it would surprise you how free you are. It's very liberating to be able to forgive people. It's very liberating to forgive yourself. I mean, it's very liberating to be able to say, you know, I forgive you, and let them go. And like those girls at the homes, they said, well, then they'll get away with it. And that's not right what they did. No, they won't. They won't. God will make sure. He'll take you, do what's right, he'll fix what's wrong. So anyway, God is really good, and he'll forgive us, and he forgives our nation. When we ask him, he forgives us. So I think that's all I want to say. I just wanted to maybe say a quick prayer for, drive a minute or so over America real quick, over our nation, and over the people here too. Lord, I just thank you so much that you are so merciful. You are so kind. Thank you, Jesus, that you were made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you've given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You're not mad at the world. You so love the world. You gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish and have eternal life. We thank you, Father, for your love. We believe the love today for everyone in this room. I believe the love you have for this nation, and love never fails. I just pray for healing for every person here who's been hurt or wounded or disappointed. People always let us down, Lord, but you'll never let us down. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Your love never fails, and we can count on you. I pray that we'd be so full with the knowledge of your love, Father, that we'd just be oozing with your love. And if somebody does something to us, it would be no big deal, because we just know how much you love us. It's more than enough. Your love for us is more than enough, Father. It's more than enough. Where people have fallen short, your love is more than enough. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Tim and Joanne. That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just to complete the Oreo trifecta here. don't worry, you're the cream, Joanne.
Oh.
So. No, I just wanted to share really quickly that for me, it's always easy to see the Lord forgiving someone else. You know, it could be the worst of worst of persons, you know, like a murder or whatever. And if they turn to Jesus, you know, they're forgiven, and if they truly turn and ask for forgiveness, they're forgiven, right? But for me, it was like, maybe I stole my sister's Skittles or something. I was like, you know, and it's like, oh, Lord. But I always struggle with that. And then I heard Holly, I'll make this real quick, Holly one day, and I don't know who said this originally, maybe you guys do, but she said, when you have the thought that the Lord can't forgive you because you've done something, and some of it is serious, you know, the things that we've done, and we all go through serious things. But when you say that, you know, I don't know if the Lord can forgive me of that, what you're really saying is that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't good enough for you, right? And I think we all know that that's not true, that his blood is the perfect atonement for us, amen? So I just want to share that real quick to encourage you that that doesn't give us license, but as long as we have the heart of, Lord, I repent, Lord, help me, change me, he will, amen? So, Lord, we just lift up tonight, Father, we proclaim and declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son and his perfect blood on the cross for our sins. Lord, we receive your forgiveness over ourselves. Wash us clean. We receive your forgiveness over our families and over this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.